everybody. Welcome to the Epoch Sec space or the Epoch Sec Twitter space. I don't even know what episode this is at this point, 30 something. But today is, a new series starting at the end of each month, and that will be just Epoch Sec briefings. So a big list of security related news topic things at the end of each month, right? It could be different tools that are coming out or updates or news events or scams or all sorts of different things that you can use and learn from and apply and all that good stuff. So if you're listening to the recording, I typically get started about a few minutes into it, or anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes, things get kind of fluid. So if you're listening to the recording, just skip ahead a little bit at a time until you hear the conversation getting going. And I'll wait for some people to join. So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll get started soon. Welcome up, Sam. I'm bringing you up right now. And Sir Corn will bring you up too, good sir. Get this tweeted out here.
Hey,
Good evening. Well, I don't know if happy is the word. I'm not a fan of that, but Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're enjoying your weekend, sir.
thank you. You as well.
Yep, wife is out of town, so it's just me and the dogs, and yeah.
Quiet. Well, I don't know if it's
It's
less
very
quiet
qu
with the wife. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's less quiet because she's not here for me to bug her all the time, so got that, but when you're on a farm with nothing but dogs and horses, it does get quiet.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Sir Corin, I'm not sure if I invited you up. I'm going to send you a request. If I did already, my apologies. I don't know if you're even available to come up, but it would be great if you did. All right. I'll get started here momentarily. Are you doing anything for Memorial Day? I mean, most people grill out and stuff, but.
Yeah, we might. Hey.
Oh, hey, man.
Yeah, we might. I mean, we'll grill out for sure. And then I don't know. We're thinking about going to one of the national cemeteries tomorrow afternoon,
Cool.
for like one of the little ceremony events they have.
Nice,
So.
man.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, how about you, Sir Corn?
I'm gonna be lame. I'm probably gonna work tomorrow and then take another day this week off instead.
There you go.
We
There
got
you
a
go.
our the current pen test we're on finishes on Tuesday, and I'm like super close to like something big, so
There you
want to
go.
use up the time I can.
Oh,
Make it happen.
that sounds exciting.
I know.
Yeah. Tell us all about it. I'm sure you can't, but
Oh, I can tell. It's basically so they've got like a GitHub pipeline pen test deal. Then I got a point where like one of their infrastructure runners will give me a call back, but it's like I can at most run like one command before it disconnects. So it's like I have remote code execution, but it's like one command at a time, which is really annoying.
Yeah, that's
It's like doing
interesting.
a blind SQL injection.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of like firewall intrusion prevention thing blocking outgoing connection, like persistent connection.
Yeah.
So I'm probably gonna have to build some giant Python script that like connects every time to run a new command, just reconnects every time.
Oh yeah, just automatic reconnecting.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
That's my theory at least.
Yeah. Would that be,
Interesting.
I'm trying to think, would that be technically rate or time limited? I mean, do you think it's tied to your IP address that they're limiting how many times you can make a request?
No, it's an outgoing reverse shell that comes from like their infrastructure
I
on their
got you.
like, yeah.
Okay. Exciting. Okay.
Yeah. Might have, you know, a little bit of pen testing news for our EpochSec briefings. Yeah, I don't know how many people are going to join. I know, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend. But like my, for instance, my wife is with her entire family right now, and they're at Six Flags, and I'm,
oh, nice.
Well, she's not very. She's like me. Would just rather be on the farm. So she's like, I'm like, are y'all having fun? She said, well, they are.
They are. Yeah. That's what counts.
Yeah. Yeah. Have any of you guys been, well, you know, maybe you don't like to talk about it or not, but it, paying attention or doing anything around all these meme coins? I've been very involved in, like, paying attention to them very closely, watching them, getting spun up and all of that, but it's very interesting to watch.
I've got a short open on Snake, but I'm not in profit, so.
There you go.
Nice, nice.
That's about it.
How do you short on Cardano? Do you, like, do it, like, do you, like, buy, do something on Indigo and
tell him your ways, Sir Corin.
Well, I think people have talked about it. I just never really figured it out.
So generally, you can only short something that you can borrow. So I borrow Snake on AADA, which they only just added.
Oh, right.
I was waiting for them to add it, actually. I was only a little bit. I just borrowed a little bit, and then you sell it instantly, and then you wait for the price to go down, and then you buy it back for cheaper. Yeah. That's the plan. At
oh,
least,
right.
So.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I did that. I actually haven't done that on Cardano. But early in my like crypto journey, I would do pretty much the way that Sir Corin mentioned it in his tweet and, you know, right there on, what was it called? Venus. And I think they were like rugged or died, or I don't know if they rugged, but I think they died at some point. You know, anyway, whatever. I had gotten out of it, but anyway, but yeah, that's how I would do it. Like, you know, I would borrow a token. I would, you know, send it over to usually a stable coin. And then I would just wait and, you know, buy it back and pay it back at a lower amount. But no, I haven't done anything to get exposure to all the meme coins on Cardano in the last little bit.
Right. Yeah, I'm not really ever good at it. I'll usually like things like that. The approach I take is I just buy $50 or $100 worth or something for two things, really just to have it as a keepsake for years down the road. And then if it does go like 1 trillion X or something, then wonderful. But if not, I don't care. You know, I'm not a good gambler. I can play Texas Hold'em very well, but any other thing, I'm very bad at gambling. So I just don't even bother with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and a lot of it too, I feel like, who was I talking to this? I feel like I was talking with you, but anyway, like, you know, I mean, like for me, a lot of it too, is I don't have, well, I'll say it this way. I don't have the dedication right now to like really pay attention. And so because of that, like I'm very hesitant to get involved in it because like, you know, like just watching either, you know, go up and take profits or, you know, I don't know, anticipate it down and try to pull out and, you know, protect,
yeah,
some of that value. But yeah,
I'm just not bad at it because I don't actively participate in it, but I passively participate in the respect that like when Bink came out yesterday and Snet came out a few weeks ago or whatever, I'll watch it before, during, and after launch, and I'll watch the charts and all of it, and I'll try to predict what I think will occur based on all the information I have, and I'm pretty much wrong every time. Like every time, like, completely wrong. So, like, I'm not learning. So,
oh no.
Oh man. Well, I don't. Hey, Sam and Sir Corin, could I ask you gentlemen to Sam, I know you tweeted the other thing out earlier, but could I ask you guys to tweet this direct space out for me and see if there's anybody not doing something for the holiday and wants to join?
Will do.
Cool. Well, all of this you guys pretty much know. Instead of getting into the exact topics immediately because they're out there, do you guys have any news that you've came across this week that you thought was interesting, whether it's like a new tool out or some kind of new update to some tool or application or some crazy scam thing you saw or just anything at all? If not, I mean, I didn't prepare you with this question, so I could just do the slides if I'm, you know, but yeah, but I'll give you guys a minute to think about it. If you come up with anything, go ahead. If not, here in about a minute, I'll just go through the slides. Welcome, Ada Street Bets. I'll go ahead and invite you up.
Sorry, I was tweeting that out. not a whole lot other than what was in the slide. I'm trying to think of, I typically do.
Well, maybe I just
Read a decent amount of articles, but like there was the one I sent you of, this guy. And how he essentially like man in the middle blackmailed.
Well, I was actually going to say that
undergoing a ransomware.
I was going to say that for next month because I don't have anything yet. I was going to start building a list, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll come. I'm sure more will happen between.
Yeah, I guess.
But I guess. So no, it was a really interesting one. Highlights on it were that. So the company, and I guess this happened back in like 2018, but the company was like, they were undergoing, an incident response to ransomware case. And this guy was working at the company as an IT security analyst, like for the company. He was involved in the incident response. And then he got this great idea to him to like, oh, well, you know, and I don't know if maybe, in the discussion, they were like, well, we're going to pay. I think the article mentioned they weren't going to pay, but anyway, it doesn't matter. He accessed the internal emails of a bunch of employees, in the C-suite is I think what was inferred, not said explicitly. And then he ended up opening an email account that was almost identical to the one the attacker used. So probably a one-off, right? And then he started pressuring his own company to pay the ransom, but he changed out the payout address to one that he controlled. Yeah. Anyway, so like it was this whole thing that he realized because he was, I guess, working on the incident response team, and he realized they were like closing, like they were catching on that he was doing this, in part because they also, it's an ongoing incident response, so like they realized that he had been accessing all these emails, I guess for no reason, right? And so it's kind of a dumb thing to like do it in the way he did it. I mean, it's a terrible thing or, obviously a criminal thing to do it at all, but it's a really dumb thing the way he did it, like while everything is still wide open and everybody's looking at everything. Why this is news now, since it happened, 5 years ago, is that I guess finally, after pleading, saying he was not guilty, he didn't do it. Because he like tried to like burn his, delete all of his computer stuff, his hard drives or whatever at home where he was accessing the information before, England's whatever response team raided his house and took all his stuff to try to hide his evidence. But anyway, so finally he just, came clean and said, yep, no, I did it. It wasn't really said in the article. I didn't like look into it a whole lot more, but it sounds like he may have been, I'm not sure if he's been in prison since then? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. But anyway, but either way, like it so now it's just like reopened now that he finally pled guilty. And so they're figuring out what they're going to do with him. I think his, yeah. So it's just like crazy though, that, you know, like, dude, you're the one supposed to be, you know, supposed to be protecting or responding. And then to go through it that way is kind of wild.
Yeah, man, that is nuts. And I'll respond something I told you too. And I'll say that here in a moment about that. But first of all, Ada Streets, again, welcome. I don't know if I sent you an invite to speak, but if you do want to hop up, you are more than welcome to. And Sim and Tommy, as always, when you join, thank you for joining. If you guys want to hop up, just request to speak, and I'll invite you on up. But yeah, Sam, what's interesting, what blew my mind about that was, you know, I work in a lot of forensics cases over the years, right? Mostly ransomware cases and as well as nation state attacks, right? Those are actually more common than people think. But in all of the ransomware cases I've worked in and all of the crazy things I've seen, I'm actually working one right now that's been ongoing for 3 or 4 weeks. I've never seen an insider attack take or, you know, insider threats are very prevalent for businesses and companies, right? But I've never specifically seen an employee try an insider attack and take advantage of the current ransomware situation like that. That was very ballsy of that guy, and he obviously didn't know the capability of forensics tools.
No, yeah, not at all. I mean, yeah, no, absolutely, I'm sure you've seen a lot more, right? I know you've seen a lot more from that respect as well. But yeah, I mean, hearing of, you know, yeah, insider threats are very real and they're a thing. I've read many, many accounts of those. And yeah, just ransomware in general. But yeah, it's I don't know that I have even heard or seen for sure something like that. And it's, you know, and I think the way I described it to you, right, was like, it's like he man in the middle, his own company during a ransomware.
So. Yeah, that's wild. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of ransomware cases, like you said, right? But I mean, that is just, I'm actually surprised I haven't seen that occur in anything I've been involved in. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That was a very interesting article.
Yeah. Not to prolong it too long, but I mean, you know, it is an interesting thing that it isn't at least as widely publicized that I've seen, right? To where if that has happened, you know, that it's not as publicized or I don't know, maybe it's just, it is extremely rare. Probably more like what you said, right? Probably most people involved in an IRT like realize, you know, if I start poking around in this, you know, like the chances of me getting found out, sorry, I was going to laugh there, but like, but the chances of me getting found out are so incredibly high. The risk is not worth the potential reward.
I know, because like your chances of getting caught are likely just generally speaking. But yeah, to your point, in an actual forensics case or using forensics tools, I never say absolutely, right? But you're most likely going to get caught for sure.
Well, especially when you're already doing potentially question, and I don't know the circumstance, like if he was a remote worker or whatever, but like when you're doing potentially like high visibility things, like accessing the company's internal emails from home. And again, I don't know. I mean, 2018, right? Likelihood of remote work is lower, you know, but, you know, that automatically for most systems is going to, you know, like that would be a higher, you know, level log that I'd want to look at, like any time it's the server or the internal enterprise systems being accessed from outside of your kind of safe zone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Air Voltaire, welcome to the party. I'm glad to see you here as well. And for you and then everybody else to repeat myself again, not to belabor the point, but I'd really like to hear from you all. So if anybody wants to request to speak, you are welcome to do so. I will stop badgering you now about that. But yeah, all right, so let's just get into some of the other topics then. Cause,
well, I have one more.
Yeah.
And this one should be fairly quick.
Okay.
But yeah, so this morning, right, checking my emails, I got one of these, or no, I'm sorry, well, yesterday, I got one of these emails, right? It was like, you know, the common, like, are they really phishing? I forget. There is a word for them. But anyway, like these scam emails, right? Like, oh, I caught you, you know, on camera. I've got an untraceable, malware, rat tool on you. And, and I caught you, you know, doing something dirty to a video. And I'm going to release this if you don't pay me. This time they're asking for 400 in Bitcoin. And, yeah, but I mean, you know, so of course, you know, it's like, okay, sure. But then I saw it from who, there was somebody else and I responded to it. But anyway, there was another person that I saw. Joan Westberg. But anyway, like they had the same email that they got as well. So only as a note, right? Like, for anyone potentially, you know, listening or here who doesn't know, right? Like, so typically these things, they go around every now and then. I think the last one I got from this was like, I don't know, like 4 years ago. And that was a totally different email. So obviously this is a different list that's going around. But they'll go around typically, right? These are, someone will buy a breach list, and then they'll send these out with some degree of information, trying to use that fear factor that we've talked about a lot in previous spaces, that fear factor and the timing factor. Like, what's this? Probably 24 hours. I don't know. 3 days. They'll do those. They're almost always really old lists. Now, and there's a whole lot in there, right? Like what happens when a breach happens, and how a bad actor would use that. But this is one of, I would call it the tertiary cases where somebody probably bought, an old list, is sending this around. But this one, doesn't have some of the detail that's as rich. So this is obviously whatever they used is like they, paid pennies, or fractions of pennies probably for the account. Like it looks like all they had is my email address. The one I got like 4 years ago, that was a much better, they had a much richer, list, because not only did it have my email address, but it had a password that I had used. At that point it was like over a decade old. But it was like they included that password. So hypothetically, or not hypothetically, like it is a real thing for many people where if you don't change your passwords or use unique passwords for each account, right? Like that can be incredibly frightening because you see your password put up there. Again, on this one they don't include it, so I'm guessing all they have are emails. But that's an additional fear factor when they put like, hey, here's your email, 123 password, and you're like, oh my goodness, that is a real password that I have. So I'll say that. I'll kind of end with just one of the things I would say on that is a good practice if there's a breach that happens with a service that you use, right? That's a good indicator to go change your passwords for that account.
Yeah, absolutely. A good one. Okay. I will get in the topics or the predefined list now as well, unless Sir Corn, you've thought of something while we've been waiting as well. But if not, then that is okay.
Nah, I'm pretty blank. It's been a busy week for me.
I hear you. So I'm going to read off the topics real quick for everybody in the audience. And then actually, if anybody is not speaking and doesn't want to speak, but you want to message us on the tweet for the Twitter space on a topic out of the list, I'll list off that you'd prefer us to talk about first. We can jump into that and mix this around, but I'll just go ahead and read off the list first real quick, and then we'll get started into it unless anybody says they have something specific out of this list they want to start with. The Ledger recovery update, and we'll talk about AI being leveraged in attacks. We'll talk about Proton Pass. I'll have Sam talk about that one. Scam as a service, right? Inferno Drainer, if you're familiar with the old term of script kiddies. We'll talk about .zip and .move domains and the effect of that. We'll talk about a Secret Service Reddit AMA that Secret Service did on the cryptocurrency Reddit page. Wallet security risks. This is kind of just a general one, but an article that was shared with me, so I thought I'd throw this in. We'll talk about Cali Purple briefly. And yeah, those are the topics. So we'll talk about each one of those briefly. We have about 35 minutes left technically of the space, but I can stay a little bit longer to get through these topics. But again, just to make sure this was, clear, we'll go through these in order. But if somebody jumps up to speak or messages us on the tweet itself for the space and wants to talk about something specific, I am happy to do that. Well, anyway, I'll just go ahead and get started in lieu of that. So the Ledger recovery feature update, if you will. I noticed a few days ago, like probably most of us, that, I'm not going to get into the original Ledger recovery scenario. I've already done a video on that, and millions of people have been beating that to death. So I'm not going to get into that, but what I want to point out is what Ledger did recently, and it felt like, and I'm trying to give them some credit here, and it felt like they actually did listen to the community and to their users and everything. What they really did, and I guess there's definitely more to be seen, right? They haven't actually done these things yet, so let's see how this continues to unfold. But they kind of put a pause on Ledger recovery for the moment in lieu of some things, right? So they've delayed the release of it. They do plan on open sourcing the firmware itself. That was one of the big things the community was voicing. And so again, they're writing documentation or a light paper on it or something, as well as open sourcing the code itself. So when that happens, that will be interesting. But I just wanted to mention that if you guys haven't heard of that happening yet, so that's the current situation. And there's been a lot of stuff going around about Trezor as well. And there's a video that was shared with me where this guy did a voltage attack, a physical hardware attack on a Trezor to actually help somebody recover their funds, right? Because they had lost they couldn't get into their Trezor anymore. So there's this big old thing that this guy helped them do a physical attack to it to recover that seed phrase. There's another one out there too, some other group, I forget the exact group, but they actually they performed a physical attack on a Trezor. So the moral of the story is that, in the slide itself, it says a hardware device is not a magic wand. It still requires safe practices by you, right? And there was something I was talking with a few people the other day, I think it was on Cardano over coffee. Anytime there's a digital thing, a digital hardware device, a digital piece of software, or I guess software is digital no matter what, so that's redundant. But anytime something is digital or has an internet connection or software being written or code or whatever, never assume that anything is completely 100% secure. If you give a bad actor enough time and opportunity, they're likely going to compromise whatever that thing is, right? So just keep that in mind. So that's that. If anybody has anything add on that you think I missed, Sir Corn, you got your hand up. What's up, sir?
Sure, yeah. You were talking about, like, I guess the treasure thing and people, like, intentionally trying to recover seed phrases. I have personal experience with this tool called BTC Recover. And basically what it is it allows you, like, if you wrote down your seed phrase but you misspelled a word, or let's say you memorized it but you forgot a couple words, it'll, like, brute force the remainder of it. I was actually working on, like, a kind of a seed phrase scavenger hunt thing in the, like, the NFT space. And they would, like, leak, like one of these like hints every week or something, or every day, and then whoever, you know, gets all 24 first unlocks the wallet, they get the prizes inside. So I use this BTC recover tool, and I found that I could brute force like up to I think 3 missing words reasonably, and it would take about 11 hours, and then you could brute force 4 missing words, and I think it'd take like a couple weeks, but anything beyond that was like years. So it's a pretty cool tool, and it definitely supports Cardano. It has like a whole mode that works with Cardano and Cardano wallet. So it's a BTC recover.
Oh, wow. I have not heard of that. I'm going to try that out. I'm presuming that's an open source application.
Yep, totally open source. And it's like super efficient. It's probably a lot more efficient than anything you try to write yourself. They put a lot of work into making sure that it like maximizes, you know, time and effort. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, there was something I should have thrown in this month, actually. Speaking of that, I think Cardano Nudes shared it with me, but there was a challenge out there to try to brute force the remaining of a seed phrase, whether it's, I think it was, based on 12 word seed phrases and 24, and the 12 word were able to be compromised, but not the 24 word. I don't remember a lot of these details on it. I'll try to find it and retweet that out, but thanks for sharing that BTC recover tool. I haven't used that yet. That's cool. So yeah, if anybody's listening, go play with that. Go check it out. Sam, or if you have anything to add on to that, interrupt me. Otherwise, I'll slowly move on to the next topic. So AI leveraged in a text. So I think I had someone ask me about this a few weeks ago, and I saw some articles on it, and I thought it was a good time to bring this up and just bring some awareness to it before it becomes extremely prevalent, right? It's ramping up very quickly, and it's going to start becoming a very real thing for many people, where AI, ChatGPT, or AI-generated images, or AI-generated audio, right? So I'm starting to see a lot of that, where they're using AI to mimic someone's voice, or what they look right, replicate what they look like, or use create images, or use it to replicate websites and things like that. So I thought that was really interesting. In the YouTube video that I did, there is a link to a 2-minute video that 60 Seconds did, where an ethical hacker lady was able to compromise a colleague of the person she was working with by imitating her voice. So I thought that was pretty cool, and a kind of a realistic scenario to say, hey, this does actually happen, right? Sam or Sircorn, do you guys have anything to add on to that? I won't talk too much about this one because I talked a lot about Ledger.
I think it's interesting that, like, I feel like this problem was 90% solved way back in the day when we had PGP, just by having, like, digital signatures, right? So, like, imagine you have this AI trying to fake somebody like Elon Musk or somebody's mom or something, trying to scam somebody. I imagine we're going to move back to a world where anything that's not digitally signed by, like, the known owner or known person in the video is just going to be untrusted. I think that's, like, a pretty pretty easy mitigation for those AI techniques. And then, like, the last 10%, I think, can be solved with, like, DIDs, right? Like, you're just linking the real-world identity layer to the digital persona. So I think that'll be something we'll see a lot more of to combat the AI deepfake stuff.
Absolutely. Sam, you got anything on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, great point. I would just say another aspect of it is, going to the point in the slide, but also just, you know, something you mentioned in the video. It's just, it's important to think of what's being asked in, like, its context and the reasonableness of the communication. Like, is it reasonable for this person to do it? Now, in fairness, right, in that 2-minute video, she called the executive assistant or whatever, and and asked that person, like, oh, hey, you know, I need my passport number because the, I forget what she said, the Ukraine trip or something, but like, the, you know, this trip's back on. And so, I mean, in fairness, right, like that probably, given the circumstances and their relationship, is probably a reasonable thing that that she would have asked for. But I think still just, you know, trying to make sure that you're assessing it in that way. Yeah, but otherwise, no, I absolutely agree with Mr. Korn on, you know, like additional efforts that we'll kind of go back to validate, you know, or verify that something is a legitimate correspondence.
I love it, man. So mitigating factors for AI, having the right thought process and paying attention to what's actually being said to you and if it's reasonable, mitigating factors with DIDs and digital signatures. Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Have I lost my size? There we go. Proton Pass. You know what? I'm not going to steal thunder because you've done the work and not me on this. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Sam, and share some Proton Pass information with the listeners because you are a privileged follower, user of Proton.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, so I mean, I was really excited about this. There were a few directions that Proton had kind of taken a survey, and I think of everybody who uses Proton of like, hey, what should we do next? And so I was kind of interested that they came out with a password manager. But yeah, to cut to the chase. So I've gotten to play around with it for almost a month now. And I'm really impressed. It's a beautiful app, right? So for what that matters, aesthetics have nothing to do with security, but it is a really nice looking app. But more importantly, one of the things that they focus on that I like is that they're encrypting, on the device, all fields. So if you think back to those other guys, to LastPass, right, and how the information that they got, even though, you know, the actual secrets, the passwords, and some other information was encrypted. And so, the bad actors who stole the vaults, and additional information to potentially help them break some of those vaults, right, like, even if they never got the password, there's still a lot of information available to them. And it's not only unique to LastPass. A lot of password managers do this, where, you know, like the header field. So what is the account for? It's for Gmail, it's for Facebook, it's for Twitter, it's, you know, for your bank or whatever, right? That a lot of those fields, and sometimes even the user ID or username email field can be not encrypted because they're seen as, you know, often as like less valuable and then the password, the secret itself. So that was one thing that I like about Proton Pass is that every field is encrypted, and it's encrypted with Bcrypt. So which is a fairly strong encryption that uses the salt and pepper in the hash to create it. And so it's really good from the security standpoint as well. They do have, you know, the time-based one-time password for two-factor authentication that you can save that secret into it as well. And another kind of cool thing that I like about it is I'm a huge proponent for compartmentalization. So that's essentially, it's the act of segregating, of putting parts of your life into a compartment, like how you structure your digital identity online, right? Going back to the email that myself and apparently, you know, a bunch of other people got, you know, where it's like, we've got your information, right? If you use the same login information for everything, then that's a big concern when anything gets breached, right? And so the idea of compartmentalization is, you know, at its simplest kind of form is you use a different identity, at least for certain elements of your life, right? So like you might have one email that you use for your bank, you know, for like the things that matter most, like banking, you know, your health, you know, whatever, your doctors, your bills or things like that, right? And then you have a completely different email for shopping and, you know, newsletters or whatever, right? And then you have another one for social media and whatever, right? So like at its simplest form, that's it. You maybe pick like how you want to segregate your life. And it could just be, I only care about protecting my banking, health, and, you know, bills, you know, or account, like home or, you know, life-based accounts. And then everything else is fine, whatever, it'll all just be together. But one additional way to take it even further is to use an email alias service to, you know, to kind of further compartmentalize everything. So every login, which unfortunately most of those are want a pass, I'm sorry, an email, that, you know, that each email you use is unique to that website. And it's very hard for a person to maintain, right? Like to have 100 Gmail accounts or something, right? But, you know, but so you use an alias feature, whether that's the plus, you know, alias. So you have, you know, Twitter plus your real email, and it kind of segregates it that way. But those are easier to kind of determine what, of course, the underlying email is, or something like simple login where you create an entirely new email for, you know, that site. Anyway, ProtonPass just integrates that. And part of it is because they did merge or acquire simple login almost 2 years ago now. So they merge that into this password manager where you can pre-set up your aliases or create them on the fly. So you could already compartmentalize for like shopping, financial, health, and then newsletters or social media, right? You can already have those set up and then just easy, you know, click and tap. I know I'm going kind of long, so I'll just wrap it up. But like, so I like that. Now I would say, you know, one, and I know we've talked about this before, right? Like having a cloud-based storage option for your passwords is not for everybody. Like using something like Keepax XE or, you know, or I think Bitwarden, right? And doing like a local save, and then you just share that that database around with the devices that you need, right? Those are great options. You know, I don't know that it's that everybody needs to go to it. But I do think if, you know, you're not in the place right now where that's something you want to do, manage your own database and send your vault essentially around to the different devices and set those up, I think it could be worth looking into. But as, you know, as on the slide, as I said in my tweet, right, I mean, it is, it, you know, if you are a visionary or a lifetime member, or, you know, or if it opens up, which I think they intend to late a little bit later for just any paid Proton account later on, I would be careful. I wouldn't probably migrate your entire, you know, password database from wherever you have it now over there when it's in a beta. I think that's a little too much risk for my comfort at least. So I would maybe play around with it and try it out on a couple, you know, lower level accounts, see if you like it, if it works for you. But I would be, you know, hesitant to put like everything into it. And that's all. Okay.
Eight cool. Yeah, man. Well, I'm sure, you know, 8 minutes doesn't do it justice. So thank you, Sam. So there you guys go. If you all have, are not or are using a password manager, here's another one to start looking into while they're in beta and started getting familiar with some of the information about how it works. And thank you, Sam, for sharing that. That was great stuff. Okay, moving right along. Also, hey, Ro, you have recently joined. Thank you for joining. Appreciate you being here. Ro, like I've told everybody else already, if you want to hop up and speak, you're welcome to request to speak. Or if there's a topic you want to ask about security related, you can, if you don't want to speak, you can just put that in the comments of the tweet for the space itself, whatever you're comfortable with. Or you could just sit here and consume the knowledge. Thank you. So the next topic is scam as a service. So first I'll say what, so Nudes shared this with me about Inferno Drainer, and a couple of things to mention around Inferno Drainer is what this is it's a scam as a service thing. So it's not nothing new, right? Malware as a service, scam as a service, whatever you want to call it, has been a thing for a very long time, for several decades. It's just now getting, it's really branching into the crypto space, right? So basically, simply put, if you are a person that wants to compromise somebody, go to the dark web, you get a Tor browser, you go to the dark web websites, you buy some malware from somebody that already created it, you either pay them for that application or they give you that application, and whatever you are able to compromise people of, say you compromise them of $100, then the people that created the application might get $40 of it or something like that, right? So it's a service they're providing. A bad service, obviously, right? But yeah, so Inferno Drainer is a scam as a service opportunity for in the crypto. I don't even know. I don't like the word opportunity. I'm going to retract that. But scam as a service, Inferno Drainer is a thing happening in the crypto space. And I think, I forget the article, I think it was like $600 million they've compromised people of so far using this malicious application. But basically what it's doing is creating near perfect replicas of websites out there, right? I talk about this all the time, using obfuscation techniques to imitate websites, imitate individuals, things like that, right? To trick you into doing something unknowingly malicious to you, right? So that's what Inferno Drainer is doing specifically around websites. So just be careful out there. Be careful. I always tell everybody, you can go watch my videos as well or ask Sam or Sikorin or whatever you want to do, but don't just, you know, randomly click on links that people send you. Always go to the source. I always, and I've said this 1,000 times, even if your best friend sends you a link, don't just click that link. Go to the source. You don't know that if maybe your best friend was compromised and they don't even know they were compromised, right? So just always be very careful. Go to the source. And when you're on the source, pay attention to the source you're on, right? When you're on that website, if anything looks kind of not normal, right? Maybe that website was compromised, things like that. So, and always be hesitant on the information you're giving on any website or thing, right? Yeah, pretty much every time I sign up on a website or something, I'm not giving it real information, right? As much as I can, things like that, right? So keep all of that in mind. Sam or Sikorin, do you guys have anything to add on to that you think I missed?
I got nothing, but I'm probably gonna have to drop out here and get kids ready for bed in a minute.
Okay, man. Well, whenever you do hop off, thank you for your time being here. I appreciate it as always, man. I love your insight as a pen tester.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you as always.
Yes, sir. Look at us, just appreciating each other.
I know. No, yeah. I don't have anything, you know, super important to add on it. You know, I think for Inferno Drainer, I think the number was 6 million. You know, which obviously still is very significant. But yeah, script kiddies are out there. As I posted on, I think it was on Nudes. Tweet about it, right? But it always makes me think of Nmap's OS output format, which formats it in this like uppercase, lowercase script kitty thing as a joke. But but no, yeah, definitely everything you said, right? Be careful, do your due diligence, especially for the things that are, as I often describe them, your money, your life, right? Like, especially take extra precautions on those things.
Absolutely. Sim, welcome up. Before I get to you, one thing I want to make sure I mention before everybody if anybody ends up leaving the space early or anything. Next week is actually not, I'm not doing anything specific. I have no topic or agenda, no Twitter space or anything for next week. So next week is kind of like my first break since I started this project back in October. And that's because my wife is out of town and I'm doing my jobs plus her daily farm duties for the horses and stuff. So it's hard for me to commit to anything, but I'll probably join like random Twitter spaces and try to help people out. Or maybe Sam and I would do something. I don't really know yet. Next week's just ad hoc. But Sim, welcome up to the space, sir. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Yeah. Thank you. And by the way, I love the cut of this jib, man, the security minded, like it, good stuff, thank man. You. Good stuff. Hey, I just had one small question. And I don't mean to interrupt your bullet points. I know you got, you know, things you're going
to
get to.
This is here to help you, so go ahead.
Well, the dot zip would have been a real nice tie into the clicking on links thing you were just doing. But I was just curious with the Ledger thing, man. Just a quick read, man. As someone who's been in space for a while, been on Ledger for a while, and granted, the hardware I got is just the Nano, like the old school stuff, which my understanding can't even fit the firmware to do this bullshit that they were talking, but just say most the bags in those, but I got a couple of the Nano S's that could fit the firmware. But as long as I didn't upgrade, and I, given this is the whole, they rolled back, they ain't gonna launch that firmware, I get it. But currently standing, like current firmware, I'd be cool and I'd be pretty safe. The keys never touch the internet, theoretically, right? Like, I don't think that's open source, but as far as my understanding.
So that is a very extremely important question you just asked, Sim. So here's the thing about that. So the first thing is, and this is answering the thing I'm going to say, is that they are going to open source this firmware, right? So then we can actually verify it, the whole trust but verify mentality, right? So we'll actually be able to, as a community, verify what they're saying is true or not, or what it's actually doing. But from my understanding, there's arguments out there going around that it's plausible that this feature has, or this functionality has been present in prior firmware, or potentially present in prior firmware releases, but just not enabled, right? So for example, if you're familiar with code, I mean, you can just comment a line out or something, right? It could be there, just not activated. So it's potential that it was there. Sam, you might know more than about that. I don't know if you've read something different than me, but I understand that it's potentially there or could have been. But again, right, when this gets open source, that's one of the things everybody's been saying in the community. They could check some of these things out, right? So, but yeah, to your point, though, as far as I understand, the only one that it would be available on technically is a Ledger Nano S. But I mean, at this point, though, I'm just kind of holding my breath on everything until they say more, right? I'm like, at this point, I don't know what I can trust, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, I was just, you know, with some bags on something like that, and then, you know, for someone that buys a hardware wallet, like, that's just a social contract that got fractured to hell, bro. And it's just, it makes you, okay, do I really got to do something at this point? Like, I mean, this shit's stamped on fucking metal, bro, at this point. Like, so, yeah, I got to go do that, man? Come on.
Yeah, and from my perspective, and Sim, what I really try to do a lot is when someone asks me a security related question, I my first answer always wants to be extremely on the security side, right? But I always try to keep in mind that everybody is different and they have different risk tolerances and security versus availability approaches and all that. So what I would say is, like, right now, nobody, just if for the average user out there, especially the people that are really non-technical and they're using Ledger, just pause for a moment. You don't have to change anything. Just wait to hear more, right? Sam, do you have anything to add on you think I didn't articulate well or didn't say or something?
No, I mean, I think you covered it all. I mean, I don't know that I have anything substantially to add to that. It's a good answer. I definitely think that once whatever they release of source code and it's, whatever of their code they release to be open source and inspectable by others, I think when that happens, we'll get a lot more answers about you know, what exactly, A, what they're showing us and if it's sufficient to actually make an assessment on, and then, you know, B, what the possible, you know, vulnerabilities or weaknesses in their code might be. So I think for now, right, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, jump to something else that you're, if you're not as comfortable or more comfortable, I guess, with that other option, you know, until something comes out and kind of, you know, go from there. Unless you want to put it all in like a cold paper wallet, you know, until a time comes to move it back.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, what I'm kind of hearing is worst case scenario. Let's just say EpicSec is right, and there's precursors to this stuff, even in their, you know, the firmware I already got on my stuff. Even if that's true, and even if it can exist in the small memory of the nano, like let's say worst case scenario, like what would you guys do? Would you freak out, or would you like go to another hardware paper wallet? Like just worst case scenario, like, because I'm not really freaking out, quite honestly. Like, I haven't upgraded firmware for a good 6 to 8 months, and I barely touched that stuff. So, but worst case scenario, you were actually worried. What would you do?
Well, I don't know what I would do, because what I do currently is, even with a hardware wallet, I don't keep the majority of my high-value assets on just one device, right? I'll put it like this, you know. Obviously, considering your ability and time and how much money you have and all that, like, you know, having multiple different software wallets, having multiple hardware wallets, that kind of thing, right? I never, ever, even if it's a hardware wallet, put all of my eggs in one basket, right? So maybe that's what I would do if I'm not doing that, if you can do that, right?
No, you definitely want to diversify. And let's say it's spread over right. Three bags. I'm just talking pure... Like, not even the value tied to 5-8, whatever there's in there. Like, just as a thought experiment. Like, if you were really worried about that ledger potential for exploit, like, what would be your second best alternative currently for you guys that know your shit? That's the question.
Ah, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess I'd probably do what Sam said. I'd probably go cold paper wallet, lock it in my safe.
I got you. And I'm not freaking out. I just really like that rabbit hole. Because it was a big Twitter. I mean, it blew up, man. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. It depends on open sourcing. And if there's precursors, like you said, that gets me, is if there's precursors to that software already in firmware versions they have. That freaks me out a little. But it was just a thought experiment, bro. I didn't mean to derail you guys too much.
Yeah, no.
It's not derailing at all, man. Look, we're here to help people and have conversations. So... Actually, I love the fact you came up and brought that up. I would like more people to do that. But Sam, go ahead.
I would piggyback on that as a sidekick. No, but like, yeah, absolutely. Like, asking those questions is what EpochSec is here for. You know, and a lot why I come here as well. I don't know that this helps very much more than what, you know, we've already said. You know, I would say, I think once the code is out and it's reviewed, right, which again, as I said, right, I think that's going to happen like immediately. I think there are thousands of eyeballs, probably hundreds or more of like well-trained eyeballs that are waiting to see.
Legends on that for sure too.
Right. Yeah. And so I think once it comes out, right, then a better assessment will be made. I would say, yeah, like if I were more concerned, or if I were concerned at a level, I would say, yeah, like whatever I'm going to hold for a long time, I'd put in a paper wallet, right? I would construct that. Obviously, that's like a whole nother thing, how you construct that in a way that is safe and secure. But the other aspect I would use as well is right. It, you know, going back to what EpochSec said, is the level of risk tolerance that you have. So, I mean, there are a lot of people who, like, even for me, I have, you know, one wallet that it's just like kind of what I call, what I consider my mind, my junk wallet, right? It's all a hot wallet. I just use it for small things, and then transfer kind of where I need to for whatever I need. But I don't keep anything of like particular value in there. But even still, right, there's this potential that, okay, well, that, you know, as a browser extension, there could be something that happens that compromises that wallet. And if that were the case, right, then whatever's in there, while I wouldn't be happy, right, I can accept the loss of that one wallet. So I would definitely look at that, you know, dispersing the risk among different devices. You know, if it is something that you're just going to hold forever, or at least for a long time, like there's, and this may not be right, don't always do what just other people say, but like there's one, you know, cryptocurrency that I have that I don't touch it for like a year. And then just once a year, I go in and I do something, I take an action to redelegate, and then that's it. And so like for that one, I could tolerate a paper wallet, like a super cold wallet, right, on that, because I'm not interacting with it on the regular. So that's, it's not even an inconvenience to me to manage it that way. But, you know, but if it is something that you're regularly using, right, then again, maybe it's just splitting it up. Yeah, the other thing, just going, go ahead.
No, I was just going to piggyback on what you said. Like the convenience factor, like the more you touch that wallet in any way, shape or form, you go from iceberg storage at the top of the mountain, you know, that, you know, Scandinavian vault they got like under the permafrost where you freeze your seeds. You just don't want to touch that stuff for thousands of years, versus I want to degen with NFTs on the regular or do DeFi. Like you want that more hot. Like I get that. I was more talking like the, I guess the root thing I'm trying to say is like for a hardware wallet, the whole premise, the social contract constructed was your keys were on this device, generated on the device. They never touched the internet. And now this information trickling out is like, we can kind of touch them keys somewhere, like shard it, whatever the words they want to use. But the very fact that it can touch those rails in any way, shape or form, just like kind of rocks what I've thought of safety and security for the last several years. That's all. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And that's a good awareness item for everybody, you know, and glad you brought that up, Sim, because, you know, it's something I said earlier, right? And it's just a great, like, realization moment for a lot of people to say, hey, look, it doesn't really matter what you have. It's not, you know, there's no guaranteed 100% security in security, right? Sam, do you have a closing thought? I'm going to move on to something, but
yeah,
go ahead.
And I know you want to move on. I would just continue that and say, like, I think that social contract part is, to me, probably the bigger thing. Like, and not to sound like existential or like, or that's not the word, but like, you know, like all whatever pumped up about it. But like, even the thing like, well, yeah, you know, if we got a government subpoena for your information, we would give it up. You know, I mean, that is concerning as well. And so maybe when the information comes out, right, I think that social contract will be understood better. And if it's, you know, if there are more questions than answers at that point, right, I think that social contract is broken. And then another viable option might be there. You know, in honor of Sir Corin, I'll say, right, like I do use Trezor, and it is one of the, and that's just what I have used for the longest time. And I'm not hawking them, right, or saying like, just go to them. I feel safe enough with them. They do have more open source, but again, this is in honor of Sir Corin, right? I mean, like they also don't have a secure element to it. They have a different method for storing your private keys and your seed on that device. And, you know, for me, it's fine enough, but yeah. So, but I think looking at that social contract and kind of reimagining that when it comes out is kind of a big deal. I wouldn't trust an email provider. I moved from Google to Proton for the simple fact that I didn't want, right, my emails to just be, you know, given up to anybody. So for me as a crypto, you know, I wouldn't want my seed phrase given up, you know, without my knowledge or doing.
100%. Good stuff. I'm going to let you get on with it, man. I'm going to drop back down to listener, but I appreciate
you. You can stay up.
Yeah. No. I'm good, man. You guys know what you're talking about, and I'm just asking questions. But I appreciate you guys. Have a good night. Thanks. I'm going to I'll check in the Trezor, and right now I'm just going to chill, but watch the, you know, popcorn and stuff. You guys have fun. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate it, man. No, I just really wanted to welcome the folks that have recently joined, and I'm inviting Quasar up now. He requested, but yeah, Quasar, Joker, Dark Matter, Jar Jar, you all have joined recently, so thank you for being here. Hold on, Quasar. So if y'all, hey, just like Quasar did, he requested to speak. If any of you guys want, or ladies, or whoever you are, want to hop up and speak, you are welcome to. If there's something specific you want to talk about, just hop up and ask us, right? That's what we're here for. So far, we've already talked about quite a few things. Ledger recovery update, AI being leveraged in attacks, Proton and Pass, Inferno Drainer, Scam as a Service, and shortly we'll talk about Zip and Move domain stuff. But Quasar, go ahead, sir.
I jumped up here and interrupted you to say, Sim, don't you dare step down. That's really all I wanted to come up and say.
Well, you've taken his place now, so now you have to stay. You already hopped down.
Well, you know, man, those are big shoes to fill. Nobody could take Sam's place, so. And I'm in the grocery store, too, so my service ain't going to be all that good.
You are in the grocery store a lot, sir.
It's
you need to plan better. I'm kidding.
Man's got to eat.
Yeah, man, yeah, exactly. Got to eat.
And yeah. Oh, man. Quasar, I'm going to get to the Game Changer stuff, by the way. I'm going to get to that tomorrow. I don't have my day job this week, so I'm going to get that tomorrow, man. So if you want to get together, let me know.
I'd love to. And actually, okay. I'm going to do a space that in an hour, like just onboarding with Game Changer. I've learned a lot.
Oh, I'll come. I'll come join that.
Okay, great. I didn't really come up to show that. I really wanted to ask Sim to stay up here, but that'd be awesome. Yeah. So let me get back to focusing on groceries, because I got to get some trash bags and some hamburger items.
All right, brother. Sounds good, man. All right. Yeah, I'll join your space later. That sounds fun. Okay, continuing on. So the next topic, and by the way, I'll reiterate this, and my apologies if I reiterate things too much. Just bear with me. But if we're going to move on through the topics, however, the point of these spaces is to give value and help to all of you. So if there's something you would rather go back to or anything, tell us. However, text it or text me, you know, textual, voice, whatever. The next one is Zip and Move domains. So there's a couple of things I'll quickly mention about these. So Zip and Move domains are, for a lack of, you know, a simple way of putting it, websites, right? Everybody's familiar with websites. Those are domains, right? Anyway, Zip and Move domains have really been a thing for, I think we're going up on like 9 or 10 years at this point to where they've really been a thing, but they've never been really publicly accessible or publicly available, right? But I believe that now they are becoming publicly accessible and available. So with that comes another type of, you know, another domain that could be used to phish you or social engineer or compromise you. Let's just use the general word of being compromised. Now, there's a debate in the cybersecurity community going around about whether this is really a new threat or not, right? Because anybody can go copy and mimic a .com website or .io website or whatever. It happens all of the time, right? But the important factor with Zip and Move domains is that there's a lot of websites that use Zip and Move files to give, you know, give you information. If it's a training video or if it's an open source application in .zip or something like that, right? So the domain would be like abc.com/whatever.zip, right? And that's the link to the downloading the file. But now what the bad actors can do is what you can do with this is, you know, and the thing is, what I'm reiterating is that .zip and .move files are very common to be linked on websites to download them. Now, therein of itself is the risk, because what, you know, and if you're looking at the slides on the tweet, you'll see an example in there that Sam drew out for me to articulate this, to where you can simply do epochsec.io/docs/security.zip, right? And that would be a .zip file you could download. However, I could also do epochsec.io/docs/@@@security.zip, and that would actually lead you to a website, right? So if you're not paying attention, and I talked about this in the scam as a service thing, I talked about this literally countless times at this point. If you're not closely paying attention and you're just quickly clicking a link, you might click something that's at security.zip versus security.zip, where you think you're getting the file, but you're actually going to a malicious website potentially, right? So that's where the risk comes. And just reiterating and advocating for you to pay attention what you're accessing. I see a couple of people. Wow, I've had more people join since I've been talking. John, Illusion, Freeloaders, welcome up to the space. Freeloaders rep, I'm not sure who you are. But hey, welcome to the space. I hope you guys are enjoying this. I've said this like six times, but as people join, I just want to re-mention it. If you want to hop up and speak or whatever, you are more than welcome to. But I will go ahead and pause for a moment. And Sam, did you have anything to add on your perspective of zip and move domains?
Yeah, so I mean, one element of them, right? Because I saw a tweet, and I honestly forget who it was, right? They were talking about it, and then in irony, right? What they tweeted out had an at symbol in the link. I don't know if it was like, you know, YouTube at, you know, EpochSec or what, you know, as an example, like how you know, YouTube identifies their channels. You can at the channel anyway. And they might rethink that moving forward, who knows, depending on where this goes. But the point I would say is, right, like a lot of people were like, oh, you know, what's this? It is important to note that generally the at would have to be, like after the at would be a dot, right? So if it's like, you know, YouTube at epochsec.io or whatever, right? Like that is not necessarily going, like that's not gonna work, right? It has to be the at with something that would be construed or become the actual domain that you're being targeted to. It kind of gets into like some nerdy stuff of like what the user info or like who you're signing in as to a site is, but essentially, yeah, if you have like in the example in the slide, or like there's a lot of other ones out there on the internet, right? But if it's something at, you know, example.zip, then, you know, that example.zip becomes where you're being sent to. So absolutely, you know, it stresses the importance of looking at your, you know, at your links that you're clicking, and not just what's presented to you, but also, you know, when you hover over or, you know, you inspect that link, what that link is sending you to make sure that you don't have that element.
Indeed. Well, moving, I guess I'll just move right along. Okay. So the next one is, there's not really a lot to say on it. I would just recommend you all checking it out, but Nudes shared with me a thing he saw on the cryptocurrency Reddit. A Secret Service AMA, Ask Me Anything, right? And I did ask him about it, and he said that the cryptocurrency moderators, official folks, did confirm, apparently, that it was the actual Secret Service folks that were doing an AMA on that subreddit. That's neither here nor... Anyway, I did briefly go through it, and it was really interesting. They talked about their perspective on Monero. They answered some questions on best practices in crypto, and they were answering a bunch of different questions and stuff, just helping people out. So I thought it was really interesting. So if you go to, and I really should, I'm going to pause when I turn over to Sam. I'm going to pause and make sure I tweet that or pin it up top so you could check out my video. You don't watch a video if you would like, but the links are in the description of the video so you could check out that Secret Service AMA. Yeah, so let me do that. Sam, can I just turn it over to you for a moment while figure that out? Okay.
No, and yeah, so again, I didn't read through every single part. I skimmed a little bit. I mean, I think some aspects I probably wouldn't agree exactly on them or with them on. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting, right, from the U.S. Secret Service, who one of their functions is right there involved in money laundering and and other things involving finances and financial crimes, which is maybe a lesser known thing of like, what does the Secret Service protecting the president have to do with it? That is one of their things. I would just say, right, that looking down through it, the best practices that they, or I say best practices, but I mean, like, they had some really good advice, for kind of protecting yourself, security. Those elements, I think, are absolutely worth it. I think it is worth it to look at what do they see, Epoch Macaroni, right, said of what, how do they look at, Monero and some of those other currencies, how do they view it? It's at least a light regulatory interpretation of how they see some of those things. I may have to go back and look. I don't think Midnight came up at all, right? But anyway, it's if nothing else, an interesting thing to go look at and see kind of what they say. The security side of it, I would probably say they're spot on. Last thing I'll say, if Macaroni EpochSec is back, right, is they do have, they opened it up a while back, but on their website, they do have a cryptocurrency awareness hub. And so that might be interesting as well as just another, often in these spaces we'll say, hey, go check this resource out for good security, safety information. And so, the U.S. Secret Service Cryptocurrency Awareness Hub might be another good, place to add in your bookmarks of, for periodically checking back for information that's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sam. That was good information and a chance for me to find that again. So up top, I linked two things. So a couple of things. One is all the slides. I should have done that in the very beginning. I don't know why I didn't do that.
Them up there at the beginning.
Oh, you did? Oh, thanks, dude. I didn't even realize that. I don't know why I'm bad at that. Yeah, but thank you. I also just linked the actual video where I said all these links are at, so you can go check all this stuff out on your own. Okay. The next one is just not really anything mind-blowing. It was just an article that a couple people and I were looking at. It was like a 4 or 5 year old article, but what I thought was valuable in that article was what they talked about was wallet security risks. And where they kind of articulated how when you think of a wallet security risk, most people just default to, hey, keep my seed phrase safe, right? And that is obviously very important to do, but it's keeping focus on that is easy for people to miss some of the other potential risks, right? And so what they were kind of saying was, hey, seed phrases aren't the only thing to worry about. There are other things to worry about with your software wallet, right? Whether you're using a browser extension wallet or whatever it is. So they talked about some things in there about using, and this goes for really any application, but malicious software. If your computer was compromised and you got some malicious software on there, that could be used for many things on your computer, but it could also be used to intercept your transactions that you're doing with your wallet, right? So that's one potential risk. So it's not a direct risk vulnerability to the wallet itself, but it's a risk to having applications on your computer and online, right? So just keep that in mind, right? Another thing that I'm not sure if they mentioned in there now, I just forget. I've read so many articles lately. But something that is important for me to reiterate is when you're installing browser extensions on your web browser, it doesn't matter if you're using Brave or Chrome or Safari or Opera or whatever, when you're installing an extension, it's important to always go, a lot of wallets out there are browser extensions nowadays, or they at least have a version that's a browser extension. But you should, every time you check in an extension into your browser, you should always go to that browser settings and look at the permissions that it has, right? Because it always comes with permissions so that it can do what it needs to do. Typically, browser extensions really almost all the time just need read access, right? Something like that. But if they start becoming more intrusive about taking, having permissions on there for write permissions, executing things or committing actions, that should be a concern of yours, right? So just pay attention to every browser you install and see what permissions they have. I'll stop there. Sam, do you got anything to add to that?
Just real quick on that, and absolutely on the last part. I think the biggest thing, other than verifying what you're installing, I will say this every opportunity that Macaroni gives me, but do remember that even though it just seems like a browser extension is this little thing that you put in your browser, right? Remember, it is an application that is, that is running on your computer, granted out of the browser. But if anything, that should be almost more concerning because it's right there in your browser on the internet connected side. But just think of, it may say browser extension. It is an application just like any other software. You want to make sure you're downloading, installing the correct thing. The only other thing I'll say, and then I'll turn it over to Quasar, is absolutely on the permissions. When you go and you look at that, most browsers in the permissions will give you an option to where you can choose that it's either, it's either always on every page you go to, or it only loads on click. That can be painful sometimes, honestly, because that means you may need to reload the page. Or the third option in between there is that you can assign a web page that it will, like a domain that it will be active on. I personally, and this is just me, right? Everybody is different, but I think the middle ground is the best way to go, where you because you go in and you say, yeah, I want, jpg.store to be able, I want this, this wallet to be able to interact with that, right? And then if you're on, hopefully not, but if you're on Google, right, it's that wallet's not looking at that page. It's not active because it's not told to, right? Or it's not told to be active on that page, right? But if you're on any other page, it's not active. And then it only becomes active when you navigate to jpg.store. There's a lot of things in there. One, it's only active on the web page you want. So if, let's say, you use Eternal. I'm not hawking any web wallet or anything, but if you use Eternal for, JPEG, and then you use, Namey or Lace for, MinSwap or whatever, right? You could potentially limit the websites that it's approaching that way. If you only use one, right, then just only add the ones that you're using, the websites that you're using. It kind of helps to limit that as well. The other benefit is that if you go in and you enter, it only will work on jpg.store, right? And then you get onto a malicious website that is, I don't know, right? jqg.store, right? And it looks exactly like, because they use the AI to create an almost identical web page, right? Your wallet won't activate. And that should be another cue. Why is my wallet not activating? Right. And look at that and say, oh, okay, that's why. Whereas if you have it always active and you go to the scam website, right? It's still going to activate because it's activating on every website. And then I'll turn it over to Quasar.
That's my cue. self-serving and self-interest, and also a double-edged sword. Game Changer is not an extension. It's not a browser extension. You can't download it. You can't install it. We can discuss pros and cons on that later, or, you know, hopefully, but it's confusing to a lot of people because it's not on the Play Store and you don't download it. Pros and cons, we'll talk about later, but what is secure? Who knows? And I'm almost finished shopping.
He's in the produce aisle.
Yeah, Quasar. Maybe, everybody, by the way, he has a space coming up here in about 35 minutes on Game Changer, his thing he's got going on. So maybe we could talk about it on that space. But yeah, if y'all want to join that, maybe you should. Okay. The last thing to talk about on here, well, I guess there's two things. I'll say this first, that kind of my close up. So I'll be doing, this is kind of a new series I'll do, and Sam's been helping me out this a lot as well, but I'll be doing this at the end of each month going forward. So as some of you are probably familiar, maybe not all of you, each month I kind of, you know, broadly speaking, kind of have a theme, you know, I don't remember what I talked about at this point this month. Oh my God, just so much going on. But each next month instant will be a response. Set of yes, incident response for ways. Individuals, for companies, and things like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm having you know, Alzheimer's or something. But next month will probably be like different tools and stuff you can use. The month after that might be encryption topics. I'm still debating that. But what I'm getting at is at the end of each month, what I've started doing now as of this month is at the end of each month will be EpochSec briefings or news topics. The news topics aren't just news, right? It'll be, you know, if they're like we talked about today, different tools that may have come out or are in beta or been updated, or there might be events that occurred that might be helpful to you to know about. Or like I mentioned at Secret Service AMA, it'll be valuable things that you can actually be interested in and use, right? Instead of just saying, you know, Bob got scammed and Nancy got scammed again, you know, it'll be, try to be effective stuff and news for you to use. But the last topic for tonight is Kali Purple. So for all of you that are familiar with Kali, Kali Linux has been around a very long time and generally very useful for offensive techniques, whether that is bad actors leveraging it for attacks or pen testers. Penetration testers really love using Kali Linux as well because of all the different offensive tools built into it by default and so forth, right? But Kali recently, I don't remember exactly when, Sam, and when I turn over you, let me know, but I think it was like a few months ago or something when I first heard about Kali Purple. But anyway, Kali Purple that came out, it's more defensive-minded, right, where it has a lot of defensive tools built in. I think, and Sam actually put this in slides, and I'll let him articulate it more if necessary, but it really highlights the NIST framework, if you're familiar with NIST, and stuff like that. So, and I actually put an article, so my video linked up top has an article that I read recently talking about Kali Purple on Station X's website. So go check that out and read more about it, but it's super interesting. Sam, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super fascinated with Kali Purple, you know, especially because, you know, I've used Kali Linux for a long time, and it is, right, it has a lot of tools that can be used kind of for whatever flavor you want, for penetration testing or for, you know, more aligned with what I like is, you know, web application testing from a defensive security side. So it was really interesting that, yeah, it was back in March that Kali came out with their updated kernel So they came out with, 2023.1. And with that, they brought out Kali Purple. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's interesting because I played around a little bit with it. It all of the tools are identified, or I'm sorry, are structured in the NIST cybersecurity framework setting. You know, so it goes over the, you know, identify, protect, detect, respond, recover. But what was cool is that when I was installing it, you actually get to choose what tools you want. And there's a lot of, you know, articles and things that kind of like talk about what they might be doing, because it doesn't come out in the similar things as normal Kali Linux. Like they don't have an ARM, or they don't have, you know, like specific, you know, virtual machine templates built and released, whether they will at any point. And some of it is because when you install it, you get to choose what tools you want. Like maybe you only want the identify and protect, or detect and respond, or detect and protect, right? So like you can kind of pick it. But yeah, it seems really interesting. If you're more interested in the defensive side, like me, I think Kali Purple offers a lot of value from that end, right? And to be clear, it includes pretty much all of the tools that Kali Linux has, but they just add a few extra tools like the Greenbone Vulnerability Management and a couple others, like a bunch of different tools. You can go look at that article or look at it on your own, but it's pretty cool. I like it, so excited to play around with it more.
I haven't messed with too much, Sam. Does it cost something? I think I remember seeing there was some kind of, was there a cost associated to, or is it just like Kali? No. Okay.
No cost. I mean, it's just like Kali. It's all open source. So all the tools on it, even though they're defensive, they're defensive side, but they're intentionally like the free and open source, tools that you can use for those particular roles.
One other thing I'd be interested in is what I usually suggest to people that aren't familiar with Kali and want to play around with it, but want to avoid the hurdle of installing it first and just want to start getting familiar with it, is you could go to like Linode, for example, and just spin up a predefined VM with Kali Linux. I wonder if you could just do that to kind of get familiar with it as an option, right? But I wonder if Kali Purple is there or not. I need to check that out. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not hard to install. It's not hard to install for everybody. If you just have a VM or something, a VirtualBox or something, it's super easy. But it's still an option. You know, that's what I would say. Yeah. Jarhead, welcome up to the space, man. We're actually wrapping it up here in a minute. If anybody listening does want to request to hop up and speak, I will delay for a couple of minutes before I close the space to give you a chance to come up, and we can keep on going if you have some questions or anything. But if that doesn't occur, I will close up the space here in just a minute or two. As always, thank you for everybody that came up to speak, Sam and Quasar. Sam, thank you for your help as always. Thank you for all of the listeners. I hope this was valuable to you. We don't do these just to hear ourselves talk or just to get popularity or anything. That's not the thing. It's to give value to you and give you something useful and tangible that you can go back and understand and learn more about, things like that. So I hope this is helpful to you. I sincerely do. If not, let me know. Let me know if you have different ideas or if there's something you want us to talk about, or if you're not comfortable talking on spaces or any kind of public forum. Message me anytime on this account or my Holy Macaroni account. Definitely not speaking for Sam, but say there are other people out there with security expertise as well, not just me. So you can, if you're not comfortable talking to me, I'm not offended by that. Just, you know, if you have a question or something, don't hesitate to figure it out. Reach out and get help and all that good stuff, right? That's my closing words. Sam, do you have anything closing? Quasar, since you're still up here, you guys have anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would add, it can certainly be embarrassing. And I've seen this, you know, over the years, like it's embarrassing sometimes when, or you can feel embarrassed when like something happens, right? Like, oh, I was, you know, so foolish or, you know, stupid to like click on that thing or install that thing. Like I knew it was wrong. you know, whatever, but you know, don't feel that way. Yeah, absolutely. Like, come in the space or, you know, hit Macaroni up, at all hours of the night. No, just kidding. Anyway, but like, right. I mean, like hit, you know, hit us up or hit somebody, you know, that you trust and is reputable. Right. I think for most people, they would rather, you know, help you work through where to go from where you are. Right. And I don't think most of the people, that at least I know on Twitter, right, are really going to, like, they're not going to demean you or anything, like, if it happens. And the only other thing I would say is, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we don't, like, we can be up here talking, right, hear Macaroni talk all the time. But, like, you know, you can watch your videos. You can look at the slides, you know, or whatever. I mean, you can, like, look at all those things. I think definitely the questions like what Sim came up and asked, right? Like, those are the questions, having Quasar come up and give some input, right? Those, like, questions that people have, concerns or curiosities, are like really important. Far more important than, like, staying on track, I think, for, like, we've got to get through those slides. At least that's kind of my take.
Absolutely. 100%. And Joker, 1 second. And just to, another Sam at 100%, man. And also what I'll say is, you know, if you're like, I want to talk to EpochSec or Holy or Sam or whoever, or if you want to talk to somebody and you're concerned about them, like, if you're concerned about them saying something about what you did, I mean, I get that. I'll even say, you know, I'll sign an NDA with you. I'll give you an NDA that we can sign together saying I won't say anything, right? What I wanted to say about that, though, is don't let anything be a roadblock to you to getting the knowledge you need or help you need or anything like that, right? There are many things we can do to help you. So, anyway, keep that in mind. Joker, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Well, wonderful. Doing wonderful.
I just got back from the carnival, but honestly, I just put my hand up because how did you bring me up? I didn't request.
I didn't do that. I probably sent you a request like 20 minutes ago. Maybe you accidentally clicked or something? I have no idea, man.
I don't know. Maybe I hacked all you. Right, yeah. It flipped me out. Because I got the Bluetooth in or whatever. I was at the carnival and... Yeah. You know, I got to the point to where I was like, okay, I'm bored. So I put my Bluetooth in and hopped into space. And I'm like walking in the house and all of a sudden, it does that bloop when you switch from speaker or from listener to speaker. It's like just flipped me out, man.
Yeah. Well, I hacked you, so.
I know. That's what I was saying. This guy, man, he just took control of my phone.
I had that happen to me actually at least one time recently where I joined a space and I never even requested a speaker or anything. Just out of nowhere, I'm up as a speaker. And I'm like, I don't want to be a speaker on this space. How did that happen, you know?
I don't mind at all. It just, that was funny. Anyways.
Well, I hope you had fun at the carnival. And hope you ate a funnel cake or something.
Of course. Come on, man. You can't go to the carnival and not get a funnel cake. I mean... Like, you can't be called an American if you go and don't get one.
I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you on that. Don't go to the carnival and eat an apple. Go to the carnival and eat like you're supposed to. That is not dietary advice.
Or financial advice. It can get expensive at the carnival. And so can the health insurance.
Well, this one wasn't too bad. It was, they have it at the local firehouse every year for a fundraiser to help them get new equipment and all that. So they keep it kind of reasonable.
Awesome, man. All right. Well, been going for an hour and 38 minutes. I think it's been a great space. Like I said, next week, there is no dedicated topic. There's no video or Twitter space or anything like that planned. Who knows? I might do something just ad hoc. But like I said, I'm doing my roles and my wife's roles while she's out of town this week, so I can't really commit to anything. But we might do something during the week for fun. Who knows? But then the week after, we'll get right back on track of things. And so during the week or something, I'll probably share out all the topics for June once I finish solidifying that. But I hope everybody has a great rest of your Sunday. Hope you have a good good day tomorrow, Memorial Day. You know, Jarhead in here too. There are veterans in here. That I will just mention. Memorial Day is for those that have been in the military and have passed away. I'm sure other people in this space have experienced same things like me. We have lost people in war that have been close to us. I definitely have things that are crossing my mind right now. But just keep people like that in mind tomorrow, okay? Enjoy your time off. Enjoy it. But, you know, keep those people in mind that sacrificed their lives for us. That's all I have. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one, everybody.
You too, y'all. Bye now.